You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
D-Mace, Van Gindendonic, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingen here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Mitch Light, college football editor at The Athletic. Mitch, it's always good to talk to you on a Wednesday, since the college football playoff rankings come out on Tuesdays. We saw the second edition of these rankings last night. What are college football fans and analysts looking at the most in the second edition of the rankings?
Yeah, well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I personally, the thing that stood out to me was Georgia at number 12, and therefore pushed out in the bracket, you know, as number 13. Because of Boise State would get an automatic bid. And, you know, you can push back and say, well, that doesn't really matter. They beat Tennessee, they're back in there. But, like, I spent all offseason saying Georgia's schedule, playing those three very difficult road games at Texas, at Alabama, at Ole Miss, gives them some wiggle room. They need to be rewarded for that schedule. They lose a couple games, it's okay. Well, evidently that's not okay. And I just don't understand. Basically, the committee is looking at the loss column, and I just don't subscribe to that theory at all. I just think you have to look at who you play and how you play. I know this isn't a vintage Georgia team. It's not this Georgia's team's fault that they're not last year's or 2 years ago's Georgia's team's fault. They should be judged against the other teams that they're playing. And they're playing a very, very difficult schedule. And if the committee thinks so highly of Texas at number three, which they obviously do, how can they think so poorly of Georgia at 7-2, which went in there and dominated Texas? So I think Georgia is, out of all the teams there, is really getting screwed. But again, it's week two. These change every week. So that really jumped out to me.
Let's keep it on Georgia, because the Bulldogs are playing what effectively is a college football playoff elimination game against the Tennessee Volunteers on Saturday. Georgia rarely loses back-to-back games under Kirby Smart. I've seen it reported in multiple places that Nico is in concussion protocol and his status for the game has yet to be determined. What is your initial read on this huge game this weekend between Georgia and Tennessee?
Yeah, obviously the situation at the quarterback position is huge. I mean, Nico has not had the season that we all thought he could, but he, you know, clearly gives them the best chance to win when he is playing well. He is a dynamic quarterback, and, you know, Gaston Moore has done some good things at the quarterback position, knows the offense well, but clearly Nico gives him the best chance to win. I can't sit here and tell you that, you know, I know if he's going to play, if he's in concussion protocol, it could go down to Saturday morning. You know, truly, we don't know. There's a lot of ways to look at Georgia. You know, looking at them, just watching them play again, you know, they got dominated in that Ole Miss game. You say, what's wrong with Georgia? They're clearly not as good. Carson Beck is making a lot of mistakes. And here's a stat that jumped out to me. I was just, you know, I'd like to do a little show prep for you guys and at least 2 minutes of it. And they have two games this year where they're averaging under 4 yards per play offensively, two times this year. They had none such games in the last six seasons. So two games this year where they've averaged under 4 yards per play, none in the past six seasons. So it's kind of a group effort offensively, injuries on the offensive line. To me, you look at them, they don't scare you at the wide receiver position. I thought Ladd McConkey, I mean, he got a lot of praise last year. and I'd love Derek's input on this, someone who played the position. I thought he was one of the more underrated wide receivers in the SEC in the past 3 or 4 years. The dude was just always open. And maybe you say he was always open because, you know, they had skill position guys everywhere. But I thought he was great. And I think Carson Beck
was
him. Yeah, clearly Brock Bowers in the middle of the field and all that stuff. So I just think, you know, Carson Beck is – and Bruce Feldman had a good story at The Athletic the other day where he talked to other SEC coaches and personnel, NFL personnel of Brock Bowers, and part of it's just he's not playing as well. Part of it's the offensive line. The opportunity is there for Tennessee. I get the psychology of it. I mean, I know Tennessee fans will say, oh, I hate that Georgia lost. They're going to be angry. I take the other side. I'd rather play a Georgia team that's not good enough to go into Oxford and win. But it's a lot of different ways to look at it. Georgia's favored considerably. I think a lot of that's with the Nico injury news baked in there, but obviously an enormous game.
Mitch, what do you make of Penn State? Now, some people are sort of up in arms that Penn State was ranked this high in the college football playoff rankings, seeming their schedule was pretty soft. But they did lose to Ohio State by less than a touchdown, I believe, and that was a tough game. But still, many look at it as, man, they haven't played a real top-notch schedule. So why are they ranked in the top five? People think they're just ranked too high. And then you look at Indiana, who's 10-0, and they say the same thing about Indiana. They really haven't played anybody, even though I thought last week playing Michigan, that was a tough game. Even though Michigan isn't who they were last season, they're still a tough out for just about anybody in the country. So what do you think of those two teams?
Yeah, well, I'm going to start this up. Like, I understand what you're saying, and that's a common argument, but you got to rank teams in every spot. Like, who are you going to rank? If you can find, Miami, they haven't beaten anyone. Notre Dame, they lost Northern Illinois. You know, Tennessee lost at Arkansas. I am a Penn State defender this year. I've watched them a lot. Ohio State, like, again, we're penalizing this Penn State team because previous Penn State teams can't win the big game. So we're saying this Penn State team isn't good enough. They're the same program that can't win the big game. And that might be fair. They might not be good enough to win a national championship. But they also lost by 7 points to a really good Ohio State team. They got to the goal line. They weren't good enough to get in the goal line. I get it. That's part of football, scoring that touchdown. But they've also been pretty impressive in every other game for the most part. And I think they deserve to be ranked in the top five. I think they're a top five team. They've overcome some injuries at the quarterback position. So I've got no problem there. And I got no problem with Indiana's ranking. And I agree with you. That was kind of a good little gut check for them. First time they faced some adversity this season. And, you know, we know Michigan, defensively at least, they've got NFL caliber guys, especially in the defensive line. So I think Kirk Cignetti will probably tell you that was probably good for them. With Ohio State coming up in 2 weeks, it was probably good for them to face that type of adversity against those type of athletes there. So we can sit here and argue about these rankings and stuff, but again, like, you got to put these teams somewhere, and with these imbalanced schedules and these 16 and these 18 team leagues, it's hard to find a lot of teams other than Georgia. I'm raising my hand, you can't see it, who played good teams, but yet the committee has them as far down as 12.
Yeah, you're right. Georgia's schedule has been a beast, but then you look at somebody like Texas schedule and it's not as strong, but they're still ranked higher than Georgia. And I get it, I understand it, but a team that I am interested in is Army. If Army in 2 weeks beats Notre Dame, who's ranked I think 8th right now, if they beat Notre Dame and goes undefeated, they have every right to be in the college football playoffs, right?
Yeah, they're not going to beat them though. They're not going to.
I'm just saying, if indeed they do win, they have every right.
I would love to see it.
Even though they have played, it would have been only one ranked team, I believe, if I'm looking at it correctly. Yes. If they win that game, do they obviously go on to beat UTSA and then obviously Navy, the big game? That game will be even bigger if they go into it undefeated.
Well, they'd have to play. They'd probably end up playing Navy twice. That Navy game is just like the regular season Army-Navy game. They will have to play on December 7th the AAC championship game, which I don't have the standings in front of me, which I think would be Navy, which would be totally weird.
That would be crazy.
Yeah.
If they played Navy to go to the playoff – and then they lost to Navy in the Army-Navy game the next week, and they're in the playoffs.
But, if they go undefeated, they have every right to be in the college football playoffs. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, the committee – basically, it would be them or a one-loss Boise team in the committee eyes. And it's if Notre Dame keeps winning and looks good, Notre Dame goes out to USC and looks good, impressive. The fact that, you know, I'm thinking this through right now. The committee has what, Army in the 20s, 23?
Yeah, they're ranked 24 right now.
24, and Boise is ranked 13. So does the committee jump? Let's say Boise keeps winning. Does a win over Notre Dame jump them 10, 11 spots? I don't know. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. I know there will be a lot of public sentiment. Mm-hmm. Everyone would love to see Army in the playoff, and how do they look against Notre Dame? I mean, I guess that doesn't matter. If they beat Notre Dame like the eye test, it shouldn't be like, was it a convincing win? Who cares? You know. And then Navy, you know, how do they look against Navy in the championship game? So, you know, I love watching Army football. I love the option. The Army Navy game is one of my favorite. It's just, I'm just thinking of like the schedule that Army has played versus the schedule that Georgia has played. Mm-hmm. And if Army's in the college football playoff and Georgia's not, but hey, Army's winning their games and Georgia hasn't won them all, so I'll stop talking.
Willie?
Let's continue our discussion with Mitch
talking?
Light here.
Doesn't mean you
Mitch,
guys
I want to go back
talking.
To no, let's go back to
the perils of doing the show with two of us in one place and one person in another place.
Yeah. Here is another thing that I think could come up down the road, and this would be a classic debate that we talk about in basketball all the time, but it came up last year with Florida State, right? Let's say Tennessee plays pretty well but loses to Georgia with Nico not playing, right?
Yep.
And then at the end of the year, they're sitting there with two losses and saying, hey, we should be in there. We absolutely may have done better against Georgia. We'll never know, but we didn't have our quarterback, right? I always think that that's a tricky, tricky thing to sell for the committee, because what's really more affecting your team, not having your quarterback or not having three offensive linemen or your best defensive player? I don't know that we have that top of mind for all of the other games in which some of these other bubble teams ended up losing. But what do you think that discussion will be like?
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's the reverse Jordan Travis, basically. You know, if I'm in the committee, that's like down the road. If I'm deciding between two teams, that's like the eighth tiebreaker to me as I'm looking. Because they don't have much on the resume outside of the win against Alabama. If they had a few more quality wins, you'd say, okay, I can forgive this. I see that argument, Tennessee. You didn't have Nico. You might have won that game. You've won other big games without him. You've proven that. But the fact that they've struggled so much with Nico in first halves against not great teams, I mean, I'm looking at the – it's like, so if that's your argument, then I'm going to try and poke holes – the other way. You know, why do you have to rally to beat Florida? Why do you have to rally to beat Kentucky, you know, with all this? So I'm just kind of, again, trying to thinking out loud here. So I find that it's an interesting argument, but it's going to be a tough one for Tennessee. It would, to me, only be a difference maker if you got two teams at the very final spots and you're really going down your line trying to figure out a tiebreaker there.
I'm very curious if they have two losses and they're in the clubhouse and they're not in the SEC championship game, if it's enough to get them an at-large.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be what other teams do. What does Miami do? What does BYU do? Kansas State, Colorado. And, you know, all of this is so new. And one thing I don't want to – it's still too early with the committee because we haven't seen – their final rankings yet. We've seen 2 weeks of it. One thing I don't love from the committee, which I commented earlier, is I don't love the, and my colleague Stu Mandel wrote about this, I don't love the rankings by losses. And it's not exactly by losses, because Indiana would be number two, but I don't like the, okay, here's our undefeated teams, here's our one loss teams, here's our two loss teams, here's our three loss teams. It's just, it's far more complex than that. And I think that'd be a really dangerous precedent to set if we start just, okay, one loss teams ahead of two loss teams, because with these 16 team leagues, these 18 team leagues, the schedules are so imbalanced, as we're finding out with Georgia.
No doubt about it. All right, let's talk BYU. My late night Saturday.
Guilty pleasure.
Included.
Exactly.
Yeah, I had two things on Saturday. After the Predators won, I was all wired up. Hey, Predators won. That was fun. You know, let's watch and see what's going on in college football. Because, unfortunately, when the Predators play at 7, you miss some of the primetime games.
Yeah.
So I was watching Adam's underdog pick, Hawaii, try to pull out a
game. Close. So
they
close.
They had a chance. They had a chance to get Adam a big underdog's win for our segment tomorrow, but that didn't happen. But I was watching Adam. But then I'm watching BYU pull a high wire act against Utah, who, you know, one loss wise doesn't look all that great. And you talk about sneaking out of there with a win. That was something. But I'm in my mind watching this, Mitch, and I'm saying to myself, what would BYU look like lined up against, pick your team in the SEC, Alabama, Ole Miss, Georgia, Tennessee, you, South Carolina even. What does that matchup look like to you?
I hesitate to say this because I don't want to, like, betting lines not my specialty. I'd love to see a South Carolina at BYU neutral field line tomorrow. I'd say South Carolina by 6.5 at least. Is that crazy?
I don't think that's crazy at all. And Mitch, I'm sure you watched South Carolina as I did. I am impressed. South Carolina up front, O-line, D-line, very good. And I think their quarterback is figuring out what he can and can't do.
Yeah.
And not doing anything that's going to hurt them. And I think they are going to be a very, very tough team to play for the last few weeks.
Yeah.
So I thought the same thing. I was not impressed with BYU.
Yeah, so back to BYU. They've got a big-time TCU 2022 vibe to them. They keep winning games, and you credit them for winning games. Love the quarterback. Got to love a Jewish quarterback at BYU, first of all. But you love the way they
– Mazel tov.
Yes, thank you. The way they carry themselves, and I love Kalani Sitake. The guy just loves BYU. And they're a tough team going. That's a fierce rivalry there. They've escaped a couple times. They escaped against Oklahoma State. You keep waiting for it to blow up on them. And I'm fine with their ranking because they keep winning games. That doesn't mean they're a great team. It means they're a team that's finding ways to win games. And it's just kind of like, again, it's like TCU a couple of years ago. No one really thought that they were an elite team, but they were a fun team to watch with a really savvy quarterback, and we'll find out if they win a couple more games, they'll be in the playoff and they will have an opportunity to shut everyone up because they're going to go against either like a Big Ten or an SEC team, and they'll probably be like a 10-point underdog, and we can either say we were right or they're going to win that game and they're going to be like, you know what, on to the next one. So that's another reason why this 12-team playoff is so fun, because in the past this BYU team would go to a bowl game, there'd be a bunch of opt-outs, and they would win that game, and everyone would say, oh, they beat an SEC team, and people would be like, oh, it doesn't matter, or vice versa. So, like, that's another good thing about this. We're going to find out sooner or later.
Quickly, before you get you out of here, Mitch, on the Diego Pavia front, should JUCO should the NCAA change their rules in regarding to JUCO players? So you think they should keep it the way it is? Because to me, it's like, you know, they're not playing in an NCAA, but you're still counting it as them. You're still counting it toward their eligibility.
Yeah, and I mean, I love watching Diego Pavia play. Mm-hmm. We all do. But I think the COVID years, fine with that, 5 years. But I think it's a dangerous precedent you start setting when guys are playing 6-7 years of college football for no other reason than to keep playing college sport. Like, there's some injury exceptions, like what the dude at Miami, McCormick's playing in his ninth year, which is just crazy. So I'm not saying like this is good. I have no idea. My guess is it's not going to happen, but legally I have no idea. But let's say this does happen. Mm-hmm. It'd be a great thing for junior colleges, probably, because kids will probably start going to junior college more because it'll keep their window open longer. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely, I mean, people who follow college sports, like in the sports media, we've been waiting for this to happen. Like, I didn't realize it was going to be the junior college angle, saying that the junior college years don't count. But we've been waiting for someone to sue the NCAA, like, why are you restricting my years of eligibility? So it just happens to be that Diego Pavia was the one to do it.
I just wanted I just want the record to show that Willie Donick is the first person I've ever heard who has said, after I'm jazzed up on the Saturday night, I'm watching some BYU football.
Said no one.
I was jazzed up because
Willie.
Predators won a game.
Right. But like you're trying to keep
the
mojo flowing.
I was going to watch something. It was either that or, you know, some, you know, Beverly Hills Cop 2 or whatever was on, you know, one of my favorite movies. Like I was up. So that game captured me.
Willie, don't lie. You was energized to see BYU. Don't even lie. It had nothing to do with the Predators.
I love BYU.
Great uniform game. Great year. I love when both teams wear their both teams playing their home their color uniforms. Great setting there at Utah. Rabid fans. They call it the Holy War for a reason. Those fan bases do not like each other. That is as I always say that Ole Miss and Mississippi State is probably not underrated anymore, but like as far as fan hatred, I think Ole Miss and Mississippi State might be up there with Michigan, Ohio State in the country. And then I think Utah and BYU is right there as well.
Mitch Light, college football editor from The Athletic, joining us here as he does every Wednesday to break down college football. Mitch, always a pleasure. We'll chat next week.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Yep.
Mitch Light joining us on the program, 615-737-1025. We will bring you an update on our very, very scientific Twitter poll, which you can participate at 1025thegame on X/Twitter. We will bring you the updated results and more coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025-1063, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Wes in Hermitage sends a funny text, which is, and I'll explain to Willie why. Wes says, maybe Willie settled for BYU because there weren't any Hallmark movies on. That's possible.
There's always a Hallmark movie.
Well,
isn't there? Isn't that the beauty of?
Yes, there is always a Hallmark movie on. Whenever it's there for you, whatever time of the day. But when Derek and I were in the studio during a break, Chad Michael Murray, who I believe is best known for his time on One Tree Hill, was doing an interview on Good Morning Football promoting a movie called The Merry Gentleman, which is premiering on Netflix next week, and Derek looked at Chad Michael Murray, who had this, you know, coiffed blonde hair. He was wearing the chunky cable knit turtleneck sweater. He had the Christmas tree and stuff in the background. And Derek said, that looks like it would be a Hallmark movie. So I said, I'm going to go to the IMDb page of The Merry Gentleman. And here is the synopsis. To save her parents' small-town performing venue, a former big-city dancer decides to stage an all-male Christmas-themed review.
Wow. That'd be something. It's a Hallmark movie. It's kind of...
It might be a little racier because it's on Netflix.
Yeah,
I don't
like
see that.
Like full Monty kind of stuff?
Yeah, I don't see Hallmark showing, you know, an all-male sort of thing to get money for the city.
And this is a review, R-E-V-U-E, by the way, for those who.
So, there you go. If it was Hallmark, then I would definitely. I'm going to watch it regardless because it's based around a Christmas movie.
It premieres next Wednesday, so next week on the show we will get a review from our very own Rotten Tomatoes, Derek Mason. So, earlier in the program, we talked about Sam Darnold because Jeremy Fowler on ESPN.com, as part of his weekly notebook with Dan Graziano, one of the questions was, look into your crystal ball. Where will Sam Darnold be next season? And Jeremy Fowler predicted the Titans. And it works out well for our purposes because Sam Darnold will be in town this weekend with the Minnesota Vikings to take on the Titans. And we posted a poll to at 1025 the game on X/Twitter. 131 votes are in. You have until the end of the show to vote, so you have about a half an hour. 66.4%, Willie, say Sam Darnold over Will Levis.
It has gone down.
But still, the vast majority who have participated in this poll like Sam Darnold over Will Levis in this A or B scenario.
So by 145, Adam will be calling the race.
I will call it in the final segment. I will make my projections.
We got to have every. We have. We got to have the setup already.
I've got. I am the decision desk when it comes to this. But you know, it just shows that you know fans are just fed up with Will Levis. That's just where it is.
And look, if you're a fan, I can. We were just talking about movie reviews. Mm-hmm. It's hard to have your movie trailer for next year saying, come watch Will Levis and Mason Rudolph run it back for the 2025 Titans.
I was thinking.
That's not going to get people to the box office.
I was
right?
thinking,
it's be
in tough. A world where the Tennessee Titans retain Will Levis, coming soon, another bad Titan season, rated NC-17.
That's like somebody telling me, like, God, which movie am I thinking? Oh. Prime example, somebody tell me, oh, they're making a Grease 3. I'm like, hell no, they ain't, because I ain't watching it. You should have been done after Grease 1.
I believe so there is.
We should have been done after Will Levis 1.
You weren't a fan of Grease 2?
Nobody was a fan of Grease 2.
Michelle Pfeiffer was in Grease 2.
Again, nobody was. If you were a fan of Grease 2, you really isn't. You're really not a fan of Grease. Period. If you're a fan of Grease 2, you're really not a fan.
Well, you know what?
We ignore its existence, kind of like Godfather 3 or Beverly Hills Cop 3. Like, no, just act like it's not there.
Yeah, exactly.
Act like it's not there. Caddyshack 2. No, I'm not acknowledging that.
I'm not going down that road.
We're not going down that road. But.
The hit rate on sequels is very low.
Yes, very.
It's very low. It's very low. So I understand that part of it. I'm simply saying, if I'm being realistic and I'm the mm-hmm. Titans, I don't see a roster that is going to fix all of the holes they have next year. So paying big money, overpaying for, in my opinion, a mediocre quarterback in Sam Darnold. And let's give Sam Darnold a lot of credit for getting to this level. Sam Darnold was on the pathway to be the completely wasted, sad story of a high first-round pick that never gets it. He's now going to make a lot of money and play in this league for a long time as a decent mid-level starting quarterback. That's a victory for him. And quarterbacks in this league make a lot of money. That is a big feather in his cap. But what he is not is a guy that is going to elevate a bad roster. So my argument is, why overpay for Sam Darnold, who isn't going to get you much better than an older Ryan Tannehill last year? Or my argument is, Will Levis / Mason Rudolph next year, a year older in the same offense? There's not going to be that much of a difference. So why pay $30 million more? Why not go ahead and roll with the same program and try to, in the meantime, draft better, make smart decisions, maybe discover a few more players, and put yourself in a better position to go get the right quarterback 2 years from now.
We do have some Vikings quarterback-related news from Kevin Seifert, who is the Minnesota Vikings version of our Teron Davenport. Kevin Seifert, the Vikings NFL Nation reporter. J.J. McCarthy had a second surgery on his right knee this week to address swelling that developed after an uptick in rehab activity. Per source, as part of the procedure, he was given a biologic injection. No changes to recovery timetable. So, although it does say no changes to recovery timetable, knees are a tricky thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if any uncertainty surrounding J.J. McCarthy may convince the Minnesota Vikings to hold on to Sam Darnold.
Yeah. They may.
Hey, look, Sam Darnold might come out and throw for 300 yards and throw for 3 touchdowns against the Titans on Sunday.
Sounds like you're taking that to the bank on Friday.
I still wouldn't change my opinion of Darnold because I think we have to pinpoint who he is. Like he's a very good story. The Vikings are winning because of defense. But I also wonder, D-Mace, if mm-hmm. the Vikings would be smart to try to go to Sam Darnold and say, Sam, it's working out for you here. Stick around.
Yeah.
And we'll pay you decently, but be around next year. We'll see what happens with J.J. McCarthy. I think they might be wise to keep him in the fold while they figure out what McCarthy is or isn't.
I think a smart team will not give him no more than $15 million per because essentially he's just your placeholder. Regardless of wherever he signs, he's a guy waiting on the guy to come to take over. That's just what he is. Now, I'm not saying that's what he's thinking, but any organization that would need his, or that would want his services, whether it's Minnesota again or any other teams, Titans, it doesn't matter. I wouldn't pay over $15 million because he's a bridge quarterback. He's not a guy that you want quarterbacking your team no more than a year, possibly two. So if you're paying him more than $15 million, I think that's not a smart move for your organization because, again, he's a bridge quarterback, and he's not the quarterback. He's the quarterback wait that you wait on, that you have when you're waiting on your rookie quarterback to sort of fill things yeah. out or just let your rookie quarterback sit. Sam Darnold is the guy that you bring in, but you don't pay him $25, $30 million to do that.
That'll be a really interesting approach to see what the Vikings do about that situation in their offseason.
615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show next. Continue to take your thoughts and texts and calls on the Tennessee Titans. 615-737-1025. By the way, before we go to break, Ricky says Grease is the single best movie ever.
Grease, yes, but not Grease 2. I agree with him on Grease. That's the greatest movie ever. Grease 2, far from it.
I'm just imagining Derek as a member of the T-Birds with the with the leather jacket and the tight white undershirt. You don't have any hair to comb. I guess you can comb your beard, but that doesn't look as cool as
combing my hair.
With like a candy cig.
Right.
Or as the principal calls them in the movie mistakenly, the T-Bones.
Great movie. Great movie.
I guess you could say we're all hopelessly devoted to Grease.
Yes, we are. And if you like Grease too, then you're not a Grease fan. Mm-mm. You're just not.
615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finkin. 1025-1063 the game. D-Maze, Vingan and Donick, 1025-1063 the game. Stillman and Company coming up next. David, I believe you have a sounder for me.
I do.
It's time for the D-Maze, Vingan and Donick Decision Desk on 1025-1063 the game. Titans fans, we asked you, who would you rather have as the Titans starting quarterback next season, Sam Darnold or Will Levis? The poll has a little bit longer left to go, but since we're about to leave you, we're calling it now. Sam Darnold wins at 66.9%. Will Levis, 33.1%. Our very scientific poll. But it just goes to show you where Titans fans are on Will Levis. But I did notice something as we were at break. I did see that on Tuesday, the Titans claimed an offensive lineman from the LA Rams, Logan Bruss. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Bruss started three games at left guard earlier this season. On Wednesday, the Chicago Bears released veteran guard Nate Davis, formerly of the Tennessee Titans. He started 13 games at right guard in two seasons, including the first two games in 2024 before he was benched. Now we know the issues that the Titans have on the offensive line. Is it worth taking a flyer on Nate Davis?
I mean, Nate was a good player when he was here. You need offensive line help. Now, how good of a player is he now? I haven't watched him, but I know one thing. Chicago offensive line wasn't good. So was it Nate Davis's problem or was it the quarterback's problem, him holding on to the ball? It seems like a few players have sort of something against Caleb Williams. So I don't know. What do you think, Willie? Do you think they should bring him back?
Apparently it's gone very, very poorly in Chicago from the offensive line standpoint, and they don't want to ruin Caleb Williams, who has struggled big time. They have really struggled. But if you are the if you're the Titans, I think it's wise to be looking for anything. Maybe you find somebody and if it doesn't cost you anything, I think if you find one piece, whether it's a guard or a tackle that could help you next year and be better than what you have, even if it ends up being your backup next year, that's worth exploring. The guy that picked up on waivers, I think, has started some games at tackle, if I'm not mistaken, during the course of his career. Is that right? I thought they picked up two guys off the street, if you will. One was a waiver pickup, and one was a guy that was just out there.
So Brian Callahan said today that Logan Bruss will play guard for the Titans.
So does that mean Raidens is injured? Or is he's just backing up Raidens?
It has to be just backing up because they didn't. I didn't hear.
I have not seen
Raidens.
Any injury news on Dylan Raidens.
Yeah, so it has to be depth wise.
I think you've got to continue to be looking for somebody who might be better than Leroy Watson at right tackle, right?
Yeah,
and that's not saying much. But if you're finding somebody who could compete and try to be a little bit better there, you do it. Now, obviously, Nate Davis is not that guy, so I think Nate Davis is probably different than the Nate Davis we remember, who was pretty good, a decent mid-round John Robinson pick that turned into a solid starter, but they didn't overpay him and keep him, right?
Yeah.
It's just hard. It's hard to find offensive linemen. It's tough. So the Titans are not alone because the Bears are sitting there in Chicago going, we'll take anybody besides Nate Davis. Anybody. Just like the Titans are here going, we'll take anybody besides Leroy Watson. Anybody.
Well, I mean, listen, I'll take a flyer on Nate Davis. You ain't got to pay him much.
Another man's trash is one man's trash is another man's better trash.
The Dolphins for a while, right?
Yeah, you're right. So at least it adds depth to a position you don't have any, especially on the right side. So if they did it, I wouldn't hate it.
Before we go, I do have something I want to get off my chest. Mm-hmm. So as we talked about at the beginning of the show, I was out yesterday. I was driving to Atlanta. And after I crossed the Tennessee-Georgia border, so I was just south of Chattanooga, I needed to make a pit stop. I needed some coffee. I saw a sign on the interstate for a Starbucks. I said, great, perfect. I can kill two birds with one stone. So I pull off the exit in, I believe, Dalton, Georgia. And I'm like, okay, I'm sure the Starbucks is around here somewhere. Then I see the sign once you get off the exit ramp. Starbucks, 2.6 miles away.
Yeah, that's
absurd. I said to Derek, it should be federal law that if you are going to advertise your restaurant or gas station on the interstate, it has to be within 1 mile of the exit.
Yeah, I agree with
absolutely you. Absolutely absurd having to drive nearly 3 miles to get a coffee. Absurd. They don't tell you that on purpose when you're driving on the interstate.
And Dalton is an attractive exit because there are a million things right off the exit. And one of those Dalton exits, I forget if it's 330-something, I think. So it's I know exactly where you're talking about because I've gotten off at that exit. But that's a good thing to note. If you're specifically looking for Starbucks, that does throw you off sometimes. That is a bummer when you get off the edge. Okay, here it is right here. No. And next thing you know, you get
3 miles.
4 or 5 left-hand turns, a right-hand turn. Where's the interstate? You're in the middle of nowhere.
Right. It's just absurd. And I petitioned the Federal Highway Administration, the Department of Transportation, who's ever in charge of this. Mm-hmm. It's something that you should take care of.
So what's the cutoff? 1 mile?
I think the rest
or half a mile.
I'm gonna put it at 1 mile. I'll be a little generous. Okay. I'm gonna say that if you are a gas station or a restaurant, because sometimes, you know, they advertise like places of interest and sometimes that might be a little bit of a drive. I think that's fine. But if it's a restaurant or a gas station and you're on the interstate and you're advertising exit 25, Wendy's, McDonald's, Starbucks, it needs to be within 1 mile of the exit.
I'm in agreement with that.
That's fair.
Because then I'm going out of the way, too far out of the way. You know? It should be, as soon as I get off the exit, I should be able to see it. At least that's me. I should be able to see it. I shouldn't have to drive 3 miles to get to it.
Willie's knowledge of Dalton, Georgia was very impressive. I wasn't expecting that.
If you've driven from Nashville to Atlanta, you start to know, especially those travel baseball tournaments that I've been to a million times. And, you start to get to know those exits pretty well.
So that's my platform. Alex on our text line says, I know the exact Starbucks you're talking about. It got us one time, too.
So you're not the only person, Adam.
See? That was my first time going to Dalton. Our friend Adam in Portland says it's a good argument in 1997, but use that little computer in your pocket and don't change a law over that.
I would want to change the law. Why not? They change laws over everything else.
Yeah.
Might as well change the law over this one.
That's what I'm saying.
It's about convenience.
Exactly. I don't want to have to drive. I mean, I'm sure Dalton, Georgia is a wonderful place. It seemed like a nice little town.
Yeah, probably really good.
Chattanooga suburb. I'm sure it was. I'm sure there are wonderful people there. The people that were at the Starbucks were very kind. I shouldn't have to drive 3 miles to get to you. Matt says, go ahead, Willie.
Oh, I was just going to say, I believe Dalton, Georgia is known for carpet.
It is. I did see those signs on my way back today. Matt on our text line says, I never believe in an interstate sign unless I can actually see the establishment from the interstate. I think those are words to live by, Matt. So I just needed to get that off my chest before we got off the air. That'll do it for us tomorrow. Silly Underdog picks at noon. Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet at 1. We'll talk some Predators. We'll talk more Titans. We'll do it all. Stoneman & Company, though, coming up next, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Be love. Love on your people. Have a wonderful and blessed Wednesday. Peace.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.